my opinion, we ought to have young people do a special every Sunday. They do a good job. It's good to be here this morning. I chose a scripture in Luke chapter 15, titled this, The Father's Love. It's about close to a Father's Day message as I probably can bring. This not only deals with a father and his love for his son, but it also deals with his sons. And this could be applied to mothers and fathers. Told you. We've all heard a sermon about the prodigal son. No, this is not the first time that I have tried to do a sermon from this, and a lot of things I'm probably very saying, but anyway, Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, says, there's a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. I'm not pronouncing that word right. But when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him then to the fields to feed swine. And he would faint, have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man give unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hard servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish of hunger? I will arise, go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hard servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and run and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house and heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother's come home. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he have received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never give me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which have devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meant that we should make merry and be glad, for this our brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. This morning I'd like to consider the father of these two sons. I know that was a lengthy reading, as well as the two sons, and try to make a few comments about them. But as we consider the father of these two sons, I'm sure he only wanted what was best for his children. Just as we as fathers also want what's best for our children, or what's good for them. Wouldn't do nothing to harm them, but sometimes we find that we're limited in our ability to know just exactly what is best. We don't know what tomorrow holds. this past week, there's a couple visiting in Disney World in Florida, and if you've seen the news, they lost their son to an alligator. They probably thought they was doing a great thing for their children, because they didn't know what was going to befall them. We make mistakes. Sometimes we take our children for granted, thinking they'll always be there. See, the father of these two sons, it seemed, had overlooked the good son all these years he had helped his father. As children of God, I pray and hope that each one of us does know God as our Father. But we have a Heavenly Father which works all things out for our good. It tells us in Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, for them who are the called according to His purpose. Sometimes we give things to our children. We let them go somewheres. We later regret. I wonder, as I considered this father, if he had known how things were going to turn out for his youngest son, what he was going to do with his inheritance if he would let him have it. I believe sometimes, though, our Heavenly Father gives us things that we waste. Yet in the end, it brings us closer to God. Fathers, sometimes, or it's been said that we endure a lot. Someone once said that we endure our children's birth without antiseptic. We're criticized for being wrapped up in our work, and some of us do get wrapped up too much in our work and kind of put our children aside. But we also have been placed with the responsibility of providing for our family. And sometimes we get wrapped up in work, think, well, we're doing what's best for our family, and we overlook our family. I know personally I'm bad about that. We wouldn't take nothing for our children, but we thank God when they're grown and leave home. I can vouch for that. According to God's holy word, I'll take God's holy word anytime over the philosophies of the world or man's word, but it tells us in Proverbs 19, verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Well, you get on to a child, or you give him a spanking, and he cries, it breaks your heart. But we have the responsibility of chasing them. If it means spanking them, that don't remove, even though it breaks our heart, it don't remove our obligation of chastening our children. It seems this is something that the world has gotten away from. I don't know how it is in all schools. I know Smithfield got to last few years that my children were in school, rather than give them a paddling, they sent them home. That would be great. There wouldn't be nothing wrong with it if the parent at home would correct them. But sometimes the parent at home don't correct them. Sometimes the parent at home gets aggravated at school and comes back on school. Why'd you send my child? You're picking on him. When we don't chasten our children, though, when we don't try to bring them up right, sometimes I think what we're putting out there is young men and women that hadn't been taught, and they go through life thinking this world owes them something. They go through life thinking that there's no consequences to suffer or pay, that they're above the law. It tells us In Proverbs 13 and verse 24, it says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." It's been said by some parents, "Well, I love my children so much I could never whip them." According to God's word, if you don't correct them and chasten them, God should hate them. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it." No. I can't say that I'm an expert. I don't consider myself to be a good father. But I do believe that you train up a child, you teach them while they're young. You don't wait till they get two-thirds grown, and then, "Well, this here, you shouldn't do this." Babies learn real quick. My understanding, the first few years in a child's growth is when they really learn. We teach them by example. You don't tell your child you shouldn't do nothing and turn around and do it yourself. Our children seem like they want to follow in our footsteps. I've always been told that a nut don't fall too far from the tree. If you've got an acorn tree, it's going to have acorns. If you're a good father, chances are your son's going to be a good father. If you beat your wife, chances are your son's going to beat your wife. So your children do by example. Proverbs 22 and verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." I can remember going to church at a very young age. Now, a lot of my childhood I don't remember. But I do remember being in church. This one thing stands out in my mind, though. When I was about 8, 10, might have been 11, I got the idea that I could move on the back row and sit back there and whisper with other boys. My dad had a different idea. And when I got, or when he got through with me, you notice I don't sit on the back row today. It was another seat. As mothers and fathers, it's our God-given duty to teach and instill good moral values in our children. I believe that one loves their children. They do this to the best of their ability. We not only should teach them right from wrong, but we should teach them about Christ. We teach them about God. I sometimes feel like that, this is personally what I believe, but I believe that the reason the moral values of this nation has dropped to an all-time low is because the parents is not teaching their children right from wrong, or they've turned to the philosophies of men for teaching their children instead of God's holy word. Also, as we teach our children about Christ, teach them right from wrong, we also need to pray that God would quicken them in Christ Jesus, for He's the only one that can give them eternal life. After a lot of praying to God for guidance, after we've chastened them, our children grow up, they bring us a lot of pleasure, but we also find they bring us some grief. They don't always do right. Sometimes they're sick. When your child's sick, it grieves you. When they do something wrong, it grieves you. But we still find that we love them. We forgive them. Do you suppose that we ever grieve our Heavenly Father? Can an all-powerful, all-knowing God grieve? I believe Jesus was God in the flesh, and it says in John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. It also tells us in Ephesians 4 and verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I believe we as his children, we also grieve our Heavenly Father. We grieve him when we do wrong. We grieve him when we waste our life. We're grieving him when we're not living for him. Tells us in our text, the father of these two sons let the younger have his portion of goods because he asked for them. The son took them and wasted them. How often, though, does our Heavenly Father give us things, bless us with things, and we turn around and we waste the blessings of God? And when we're not using them for his glory, that's what we're doing. We're wasting the blessings God has given us to us. For instance, God has blessed us with our life. He's given us our health. In turn, are we living for him? Are we going the way of the world? You see, if we're not looking to Jesus, if we're not living for him, if we're not seeking his will for our life, we are going the way of the world, and that leads to destruction. It tells us in Matthew 7 and verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. See, the child of God that's not living for the Lord, I believe, is on this straight, or is not on this straight and narrow, but is on the broad way that leads to destruction. You go waste your life chasing the riches of the world. What's going to happen to these riches? What's going to happen to the things you buy with them? One of these days they're going to be gone. They're going to rust. They're going to deteriorate. They're going to rot. They're going to burn. The way of the world is live for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. If it feels right, do it. But you see, there comes a day of reckoning. We're told in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 9, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This prodigal son went the way of the world, sowed wild oats, you might say. Then he reaped the fruit of his harvest. He began to be in want. He found himself in a hog pen feeding hogs. He found himself empty and hungry. In our text, it tells us when he came to himself, or in other words, when he woke up or he came to his senses. He remembered his father. He remembered the hard servants. He remembered how there was plenty for all. See, misery had brought this young man to regret, to repent, return to his father, confessing his sins, desiring to be made as one of the hard servants. I don't believe that the son expected to find what he found when he returned to his father. Instead of being turned away, instead of being beaten, put to shame, he was welcomed with open arms. That's father's love. There was rejoicing because of the wayward child had returned home. A father's love had received a son back, even though he'd done wrong. Even though he was not worthy to be called a son, he was still a son, still loved, received back in the good graces and home of his father. You know, this come to me if I am thinking right. Absalom, David's son, tried to take the kingdom away from him. and was killed. And David grieved for him, even though what he'd done. David loved his son. I believe Jesus uses this physical application, though, to teach us a spiritual truth. As born-again children, we have a heavenly Father that loves us more than we can comprehend. It says in Romans 8, or in Romans 5 and 8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet without sin, or while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Whom did Christ die for? He died for sinners. But some believe he died for all men. Some believe a general atonement. God's word, though, teaches a particular atonement. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 through 7 says, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. This tells me that the ones Jesus died for are those chosen in him before the foundation of the world. If you believe that Jesus died for you, then you can say, well, I was chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Amen. If you believe that Jesus died for you, you're a child of God. You're a son of God. Tells us in John 1, 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In Romans 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 1 John 3 and verse 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, as sons of God, we have a heavenly Father. And I'm speaking to all here. Don't matter if you're male or female. If you believe in Christ Jesus, you can be a son. All that come to him through Christ Jesus, none are turned away. It's him we go to in prayer through our Lord. Jesus is the only access to the Father. In our prayers, we thank him for his blessings. We also make our requests known for the things we're in need of. Our children ask us for things, and most of the time, if it's in our power, we try to provide the things that they need. We give them these things that they want. Sometimes we give them things that they don't need. We spoil them. But in Matthew 7, verse 11, Jesus said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? See, according to James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Your children don't like to be chastened, neither do we like to be chastened. But it's needful for an unruly child. Whether it's your physical child or whether it's you're a child of the Heavenly Father. Hebrews 12 and verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. See, God can and does bring things to pass that will get our attention. Those whom God loves, He will and He does chasten. He does it for our own good. I believe this prodigal son is the example of God dealing with a wayward child. This young man, when all was gone, to make things worse, a famine arose. He began to be in want. Sometimes we look at things happening as, well, as an accident. But they're not. They're brought about God Almighty, such as this famine. We know God also controls weather. Sometimes we have to hit bottom. Pride has to be broken before we cry out and seek God in repentance. Just as this young man came to himself, pride didn't stand in his way of returning to the Father. Religion teaches that the prodigal son was lost. But that's not true. See, he was a son when he was with his father. He remained a son in his wayward way, and he was a son when he returned. He didn't cease to be a son when he went away. Religion also teaches that a man can lose his salvation. That also is not true, because if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is eternal, so those in Christ Jesus are also eternal. What we do lose when we go astray, what this young man lost, was the blessings of being under his father's roof. David is an example. Because of David's sins, he lost the joy of his salvation. Now, when we're not right with the Lord, we're not right with our brothers and sisters. And when you're not right with your brothers and sisters, you gather in an assembly, and there's no joy there. You'd just soon be somewhere else. When this young man repented of his sins, turned from his wicked ways to his father's house, before he ever got there, his father saw him and had compassion. It says he run, fell on his neck, and kissed him. There was rejoicing because this wayward son had returned. Jesus is teaching us when one has gone astray and repents and confesses, they're not only forgiven, but they should be welcomed back. And there should be rejoicing. They take the rightful place back in the fold of God. The father put a best robe on him, put a ring on his hand, put shoes on his feet, killed a fatted calf. They ate and were merry. Now this is just the father's love for his wayward son that had returned. Luke 15 and verse 7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. I'd like to turn our attention to the other son, though, for a moment. The good son. But yet, the good son wasn't perfect. The good son had an unbrotherly attitude. He was jealous, murmuring, bitterness against the brother that had returned. Can we as God's children get like this? The good son had the attitude of a Pharisee. Or some of the Pharisees, not all the Pharisees, some of them were true Christians. But many of the Pharisees, they stood about their chest poked out and their chin held high and looked down on other people. I'm better than you are. I wouldn't do that. I have no need to repent. But that's kind of the way the good son was. But it don't matter how good we are, we find that we still have sin. we need to repent of. Pride comes before the fall. The attitude of the good son has destroyed many of the Lord's churches. It is a church body. We are to judge one another. But when somebody does wrong and they repent, we're supposed to welcome them back with open arms. Sometimes someone will get high-headed and I can't forget what they done. I can't overlook it. That's not the Christian. Or that's not the Christian way. But we can see from these two sons that all are sinners. Sometimes people will think they rise above sin, but as long as God leaves us in our fleshly bodies, we're going to have trouble with sin. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you should hate sin. We hate it for what it does to us. We hate it for what it does to our family, what it does to our church, our nation. We desire to be sinless, but we find we're still sinners. We have to repent from time to time. We can go to church. We can read God's holy word. We can say prayer from time to time, and we can still be out of the will of God and still need to repent, just as the good son also needed to repent. See, Philippians 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Sometimes when we get this way, God has to take measures to correct us and break our pride. God continues to work in us. He continues whether we're a wayward son or whether we're a good son. We're kept by the power of God. No one can pluck us from His hand. We belong to Him. Now we all have a father. Some may not have ever known their father. Some of you, the father may have died when you were young. But if you have or had a godly father, one that has loved you, one that has taught you about Christ, took you to church, took on the duty God has placed you in as being head of your household, you should thank God for it. For you see, not all fathers love their children. Not all fathers are godly men. In Christ Jesus, we've been born again. We have a heavenly Father. In other words, God is our Father. We're His children. I'll close here with a couple of questions. How do we stand before God? I have to include myself in that. We as fathers, are we good fathers? Are we godless fathers? We're bad fathers. Are we one of His children? If you're here and you're not one of His children, I can tell you that Jesus said, believe on Him and you shall be saved. Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I can only tell you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're one of His children, if you are a believer, then comes the question, are you a good son or are you a wayward son? Either way, we all find that we have to repent from time to time. When we turn back to our Heavenly Father, though, our sins are forgiven. we're received back. Once again, we can have the joy of our salvation restored. I'll ask Brother Den to come forth and lead us in a couple of verses of invitation.